Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone. It's been a really busy week for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the same for everybody else. I'm just glad to be back recording.
Same. You know, it's been a minute since me and Savannah recorded. You guys never notice anything because we're magical over here.
Yeah, because we're pros.
Yeah, obviously. And but yeah, it's been a hot minute, so I'm excited to get back into it. There's a lot of things we have to catch up on.
There really are, Savannah.
Such as, I went and saw a podcast show live for the first time. And okay. Because I was like, I don't know what the vibe is. Also, like, one day we could have a podcast show. So,
we're going to have a show.
Guys, it would be so fun. You have no idea. And then after seeing their podcast show, I saw Two Hot Takes live. Love Two Hot Takes. Fave podcast. Other than ours, of course. But, and basically it's like a podcast where they read Reddit stories and like really crazy Reddit stories. So, and then give their takes on them and such things. So that's what they were doing. And they were calling people like from the crowd to tell stories. And I just like couldn't bring myself. I had a good story. But I just couldn't bring myself to tell that many people, like, such a personal story about my life. Oh, so I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But I easily could have. But it was such a fun experience. I've never been to the Comedy Zone before. Mm-hmm. It was in Charlotte. And there was two shows because the first one originally sold out. So we had got the later show tickets. And we were, like, some of the first people to get there because we wanted to be in the front. And since it was the late show, we had plenty of time. So we were just, like, waiting outside, and the security lady was like, I'll just go ahead and scan y'all, like, through. So then when they're done in there with the first show, y'all can just go on in.
Yeah.
So this woman was the funniest woman on the earth. I'm not kidding. I was like, have they hired you to be the opening act, ma'am?
Oh, my God.
I was laughing so hard. Also, I called the venue before the show because I couldn't find their bag policy online. Which, if you're not in the United States, everywhere has a bag policy where basically you have to, like, have a clear bags to make sure you don't have a gun.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's like a lot of, like, concert venues have that.
Yeah. And so I figured, you know, like, maybe there's a bag policy and I wanted to see. And it said nothing about anything about a bag policy. So I called them and he was like, there's going to be a security guard at the door. And I was like, okay, I got that. But...
I'm guessing that means no bag policy, right?
I was like, so what about a purse? And he was like, I mean, it's going to be checked. And I was like, okay, but does it have to be clear, sir? I asked it like 14 times. Right. And he was like, yeah. I definitely don't think it matters what color the purse is. And I was like, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'm sorry.
He just had no idea what you were talking about.
Like, he's never heard of a clear bag policy in his life. I was laughing so hard at that. But anyway, so the security lady, she checks my purse, and I went to the show with my friends Taylor and Dina, and she checks me first. I'm good. And I had an actual purse, okay? Taylor has a key, like her key fob thing, and she has like a little tiny baby coin wallet on it.
Okay.
And this girl opens up this wallet for this lady to check this coin purse.
My God.
And when I tell you, this lady was already funny. She was cracking jokes with every person. She said, now I know you ain't seriously opening that for me to check to see if you have any weapons in there, ma'am. Oh, my God. When I tell you, we were rolling on the floor. And she was like, you know what, ma'am? You just got me so discombobulated. And she saw me, like, put my purse down. She was like, wait, did I check your purse? Oh, my gosh. It was just the funniest thing ever. So
You had a pre... A pre-show show.
Quite literally. Yeah, and then the show was just insane. They read crazy stories, and we kind of all gave our takes. It was fun. It was so fun. Very vibey. And I did, in fact, hide some of our stickers at that venue. So if you're listening from some of those stickers, welcome.
Yes, welcome.
So, yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was very fun. And it made me want to have our own show. Real bad.
Someday, we will.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of existence.
Yeah. I haven't really been doing anything that crazy recently. I've actually been working a lot.
I mean, that's good.
Which, you know. I mean, it's good, but also I didn't, yeah, I know. I got a lot of overtime. But, you know, I just want to take like a week off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I sure do. I want to take a week off after working a regular week, so.
Well, yeah, that's true.
No, yeah, like, me too. Over the summer is like our busy time, and I would work like 7 days straight for like 3 months, and that was mm-hmm. just like, I felt like I was in an insane asylum, especially when I would have to go into the office, because now mm-hmm. I'm working from home. But yeah, I just felt trapped. So. Yeah. Was that actually, your feeling?
That we a little bit, but that reminds me. Over the weekend, I went to my parents' house and I was hanging out with my sister Adriana, and we made a countdown to summer mm-hmm. on the chalkboard. Ooh. And there are 15 weeks until June.
Oh my god!
So everybody, that's so little, you know.
Thank.
I know 15 goodness. Weeks. Like it sounds like a lot, but a little at the same time. So.
No, I feel like it kind of sounds like that's only like 4 months, right? Three?
It's
four. It's about four. Know. That's not that bad. That's actually I not mean, that bad.
We're getting close. We're getting close.
Listen, it's almost March, and exactly. we're about like the time is about to change for us. Yeah. Guys. Actually, I think yeah. When this comes out, it's gonna be really about to change, and that's gonna be a big mood changer for me. The sun up. When I'm up is nice, you know. Mm-hmm. We've been complaining this whole time.
I know.
About the sun, so I'm ready. Ready for the sun.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
You know what I'm also ready for? I have been so... I think I might have already brought this up before, but I'm, like, so addicted to TikTok and, mm-hmm. like, social media. Yeah. Mainly TikTok.
We've definitely brought it up.
I'm trying to detox from it.
That's really good.
Yes.
That's really good. I've like fake detoxed myself just because I've been so busy that I actually haven't had time to go on that much. Yeah. Except for today. I've been on it a lot.
Today. Yeah. I set a limit for myself for 30 minutes for every day. Like ooh. 30 minutes. And mm-hmm. I met that today. But I didn't click ignore. I'm like gonna actually.
Good. That's good.
Do it. Yeah.
That's good. Do you think you're gonna hold out for the rest of the day?
I think
because nighttime is like the worst time for me.
I know, me too. And the thing is, I need to find something else to do instead.
That's true.
I've been playing Candy Crush.
Listen, Savannah, I'm holding us accountable on this podcast that we're going to the gym.
The gym.
Me and Savannah have become gym bros, and by that I mean we've gone a couple of times.
Yeah.
But it was not our New Year's resolution because those are fake. Mm-hmm. Just a life goal. Was to go to the gym more. So we can do that instead of get on TikTok, you know?
Okay. Okay. You're right. You're right.
And then you won't be tempted.
Yeah. Okay. And listening to podcasts like this one.
Yeah. Facts.
Exactly.
Absolutely facts. Okay. Okay. I have one more thing to share.
Okay.
And it kind of ties into my story, but I feel like I need to share it now because it doesn't really tie in too much to my story.
Okay.
But a little bit. So over this past weekend, I went on a mountain trip with some friends up in Asheville, North Carolina, which is like on the western side of North Carolina, if you don't know where that is or whatever. And it's in the Appalachian Mountains. Okay. If you've ever heard of them, they're very famous. Some people say Appalachian. Those people mm-hmm. are wrong, in my opinion. mm-hmm. But, so yeah, took a good old trip to the good old Appalachian. And so that inspired me, because I knew we were going there, to do a story from the Appalachian Mountains. So, you know, eventually you'll hear the story later. But while we were in Asheville, we were staying at this little cabin on top of this mountain. No houses, really. I mean, there were houses around, but very far. You know, I mean, we've been to Asheville together, Savannah. You know mm-hmm. how far away the houses are.
Oh, it's not yeah. like
in the city.
Yeah.
That's important to know. So me and my friend Christian were in the hot tub at around, I'm going to say, between the time of 1:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. Okay. One night. And it was just us two. Everybody else is inside the house already. But we weren't done with the hot tub. And I was briefly telling her the story that I'm going to tell you guys today on the podcast. And immediately once I finish telling her the story, we hear a little girl's voice saying, "Hello?"
Oh, no.
And at first I was like, "Christian, stop playing around," because I thought she was messing with me. And it is also important to note, we were on a hot tub on a back deck that was fenced in. So, like, if there was somebody there, we had time to get inside. Like, we were safe, at least. But yeah. Right behind that fence was the woods of the Appalachian Mountains. So we were just, like, we just became the most silent we've ever been in our life. And just listened. And we heard it again. And it was a little girl. She said, "Hello." And we never ran so fast inside.
I am locked, like, silent right now. I cannot.
We locked every door. We didn't even close the hot tub. Couldn't. Sorry, Airbnb host, if you're hearing this, I'm so sorry. We had to leave it open until the next morning because I was like, ain't no way I'm going back out there. And then the audacity of when I get home and tell my parents that, my dad was like, "Taylor, why didn't you help her? What if she needed help?" I'm like, "Girl,
what?
Come to the front door." Just, what do you joking, mean?
Right? Because what do you mean?
Like, I'm not. I'm so sorry, little girl. You came to the wrong person for help at 2 a.m. I don't believe that was a little girl. That's all I got to say about that. So yeah, that happened over the weekend.
Oh my god! And you're just gonna casually tell me this? Like, what?
I know. I wanted to tell you so bad when it happened, but I was like, this needs to be on the podcast. So.
Oh my god! I can't even. This. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I was so scared. I really was so scared. I have like so many goosebumps right now even thinking about it. Oh, and Christian bears witness. She was there. She heard it too. So it wasn't just me.
I mean, I almost wish I was there to hear it too.
We were like, we were so mad when we got inside. We were like, y'all should have been out there. Everybody should have been out there to hear that because like nobody is going to believe us.
No, because honestly, I don't think they would have like.
They would have said something if there was all those people out there.
Yeah.
Oh, Savannah, please.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have said anything if there was more than just two of you. Yeah.
Oh my god, that makes my skin crawl. Oh my god. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, yeah. Let's move on because I can't think about that any longer because that actually really freaks me out.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Now let's move on. Okay, let's get into my story. So this week I'm going to be talking about a haunted hotel, a classic. I'm going to talk about the Elms Hotel.
We love a haunted hotel. My fave, honestly.
So the Elms is in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And are you familiar with this area at all?
Probably not. No, why would I be? No, sorry. Unfortunately, no.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't either.
I'm not even sure I know where the state of Missouri is. I think we've had this conversation on this podcast before, so.
Yeah. Well, I actually got this idea. A YouTuber that I watch, they posted a a video of them going to this hotel and like doing some ghost hunting. So
nice.
So yeah, I took the idea from them. But yeah, so this hotel is in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And this area of Excelsior Springs, it became popular in the 1800s, actually, because of the mineral water in the area.
Oh, have you ever drank mineral water, like, fresh out of the stream?
No.
It's the best thing ever.
Oh, I bet it is.
It yeah. really
like,
is.
Like, fresh out of the
It's like, so cold. Earth. It's so, it's like no, it's like the perfect tasting water. Like, the water you need at 3 a.m. when your mouth is dry. Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had one of those streams, like, in my backyard.
Same.
The dream.
Yeah, for real.
So the reason that this became popular, yes, because of the mineral water, but because specifically the water was said to quote unquote heal people.
See, what's so interesting is I was about to say Fountain of Youth when you said that earlier.
Yeah, kind of.
Not so really, but like, yeah.
There was this girl, she was sick with tuberculosis. And it's always tuberculosis, isn't it?
Literally like, always. Just TB forever.
So she was sick, and her father took her to these waters, to the springs, and she was cured of tuberculosis.
Supposedly,
that's what the water, you know, helped her.
Wow.
Could have been something else, but, you know, yeah. maybe it's the magic water.
I need that water for real.
Yeah. So the hotel, it opened for tourism because, you know, people flocked to this area for the healing mineral water. And actually, fast forward a little, because this was back in the 1800s, but then in 1932, the American Medical Association actually released research that stated that there's no scientific evidence supporting health benefits of mineral water.
Oh, yikes.
So they kind of were like, yeah, it's not really healing you, but savage. I mean, you can still believe it heals. I mean,
listen, the placebo effect works, so like if you believe it hard enough, it could work.
Yeah, and you said that it's the best tasting water ever, so maybe that has some sort of effect on you.
It probably actually does hydrate your body better than like the water we drink, so in a way I guess it could probably help, you know.
Yeah, it could. So this hotel, it is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. So it's a historic place. It was also featured on Ghost Hunters, the TV show, in 2013. And on the website for this hotel, they openly say that the hotel's haunted. And they they offer paranormal tours.
No way.
Yes.
Wait, are we far from Missouri? Because I'm
kind of... I think we're kind of far.
Mm.
But... like, we could go.
Okay.
So, the 200-room resort opened in July of 1888, and an annex with 75 rooms was added a year later in 1889. But, unfortunately, the original hotel was destroyed by a fire on May 9th of 1898.
Let me tell you, if it's two things, it's always going to be... it's tuberculosis and a fire.
See, that's what I was saying, too. I was explaining this story, like, telling this story to Garrett. And I was like, literally every historic place, like, if there's not a fire, I'm shocked.
Yeah, or tuberculosis.
Yeah, or tuberculosis. Exactly.
No, quite literally.
Yeah. So, the second Elms Hotel was then built with 300 rooms, and it opened July 31st of 1909.
Wow, but, that's significantly bigger.
Yeah, but shocker, this one was also destroyed by a fire.
Couldn't see that one coming, huh?
Yeah, and it was destroyed only a year later.
What?
October 30 of 1910. So it was open in July of 1909, and then it was destroyed October 1910.
Listen, so I feel like two fires means maybe let's not build on this land.
Yeah, well, yeah,
like that
could mean something.
Or like, maybe let's have some better fire safety.
True.
At the very least.
I mean, but I like fires back in the day were so prevalent just because their fireplaces were just open and they used fire to heat the buildings, you know?
Yeah, you're right. But I just feel like 1910 is a little... Like, the first fire makes more sense than the 1910.
You think
in
so?
My mind.
I don't know.
I don't really know when firefighting became prevalent, honestly.
Yeah. And so to add on to, like, what I was saying about the fireplaces and stuff, just, like, fires all over the, you know, just to heat the buildings, mm-hmm. People probably smoked in there as well.
That is
and
a very
that,
good point.
Yeah, like, people were just, like, lighting up everywhere. So it's, like,
that's
there's no...
Facts.
No wonder everything was lighting on fire back in the day. Someone probably dropped a cigarette or something.
You're 100% right about that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the third Elms Hotel was opened on September 7th of 1912, and that one is still open today.
Okay, third time's a charm.
Exactly.
They're able to build hotels fast back then, honey. 2 years?
Yeah, honestly,
I don't know why I expected it to take them longer.
Yeah, I don't know. On its final grand opening, they had over 3,000 guests. So.
Good Lord, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what one source said. I'm like, semi-questioning that now, but, mm-hmm. like, it could be right.
I mean, who's to say?
Yeah, who's to say?
I mean, this is the third time it burnt. Was like burnt and built, you know? That's kind of
yeah,
a sight
exactly.
to see.
Yeah. So this building in the 1920s and 30s during Prohibition, and I think we've talked about Prohibition on this podcast before, but if you don't know, for some reason, during the 1920s and early 30s, alcohol was illegal in the United States, and then that led to a lot of organized crime. So this hotel was not immune to that organized crime. The Elms was actually used as a speakeasy by crime boss Big City Tom.
Okay, Big City Tom.
Big City Tom Pendergast.
Wow. What a name.
Yeah, him, he sort of like was in charge of the area, and then Al Capone actually was a frequent visitor of this hotel as well. So,
wow.
Some big crime bosses here.
For sure.
So Al Capone, he had his own suite on the second floor, and he could see the entrance from his room, and this was so he could know who was coming in and out at all times.
Oh, of course.
You gotta know.
Had to keep the eye out for the ops.
Exactly. He also stored his firearms in a safe that is now displayed at the top of the lobby's staircase. So,
that's cool.
The speakeasy part of the hotel, they kept the speakeasy down in the basement area, which was, it's currently like a pool down there, but I couldn't see, like, I couldn't tell if it's always been a pool or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might have been a pool back then, and then they were just having a pool party inside. I don't know.
That's true.
Or it could have just been a basement back then. But regardless, it's the pool area now. And during Prohibition, law enforcement would often raid the place, you know, of course, when parties were too loud and illegal.
Of course. I just cannot believe. Sometimes I just forget alcohol was illegal.
I know.
At one point.
I know. It is kind of a crazy.
It is. I mean, it feels like it's giving like freshman year of college, but for everybody.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God.
The RA is knocking on the door. Everybody had the alcohol.
Yes, like, exactly. Oh my God.
Not that we did any of that. Just as an example. You know?
Yeah, it's just an example. but this quote that I'm about to tell you really shows what people were thinking about Prohibition at the time, though. So police busted in when the governor of Missouri was actually attending one of the parties at the hotel. And the governor, he told the police, he's like, go bust somebody else who's actually breaking the law, because what are you doing here? Like, that's what he said to them, basically. He's like, go bust somebody else. Like, I can't deal with this right now.
I mean, I feel that, honestly.
Because he's like, he really said, somebody who's really breaking the law. And it's like, this is breaking the law, but nobody really thought of it as that, you right, know?
Because
nobody took it serious.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Like, go find the thieves and the murderers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just think that's so funny that the governor, he's like, guys.
I mean, that's honestly me as a governor.
If you don't agree with the law, you're like...
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
No.
Forget about it.
Yeah. So another, like, sort of famous... another famous person who has stayed at this hotel is actually Harry S. Truman, the president of the United States.
Tell me why I thought you were going to say Harry S. Styles.
Harry Styles? No, not Harry Styles. Unfortunately, I don't think he stayed here.
Fine.
But yeah, Truman, he was the 33rd president of the United States. And in 1948, he actually spent his election night at the hotel.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah. So on election night, he went there. He went to the hotel in a Secret Service car without telling anyone. And he, like, wanted to avoid attention at his house in the morning because he knew, like, either way, if he won or if he lost, like, the paparazzi.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like,
course.
People will be at his house.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to this hotel, and some sources say that he, like, just went there, and he fell asleep at, like, 9 p.m. And then he woke up to the news that he had won, and he was now the president.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, and he was in room 300, so.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Imagine waking up and you're president.
I know. Yeah. And I think during this election, like, he was not expecting to win, too.
Oh, that's even more wild then.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So, let's get into the good part, the ghosts of this hotel.
Oh, yes.
So, the ghosts of this hotel, they're known to be nice.
Good.
I mean, there's one that's, like, questionable that I'm going to talk about, but they're nice overall. So the employees, they all know that the place is haunted, and they talk about it to the people who stay there. And they also, you know, they do paranormal tours, so they have the info, and they, So one of the ghosts is in the basement of where the pool is, where the speakeasies were. There's a spirit of a man who was actually shot and killed by the mob during one of the nights at the speakeasy. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that is not surprising, but that's sad.
Yeah.
Sad that he remains down there.
Yeah, and he just kind of hangs out down there. There's you not know, really...
Maybe it's a vibe down there for him.
Yeah, true. Maybe he's just, like, at a never-ending party.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's not much to say about him. He's just hanging out down there.
Mm-hmm.
The staff and guests have also reported seeing a woman in a 1920s maid uniform on the third floor. And they say that she's really nice to everybody, and she helps the current housekeepers clean things, and she kind of just, like, does her job.
Wow. I feel like that's so common with hotels, too, like, the hotel hauntings. Like, there's always, like, a maid that just loved it so much that she's still doing it.
I know, but it's, like, I know it could be because they do love their job and stuff, but it's still sad that they're still working
in the afterlife. Oh, it's totally sad. Listen, after death, I don't care what is going on, I'm not working.
Yeah, like, honestly, couldn't be me.
Nope. Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
I guess, I don't know, some of them just get stuck, though. Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
Right. Or, like, some of them, like, are just residual. So, like, maybe their soul's not actually there. It's just, like, energy that's left over, reliving it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have hope that.
I think with her, though, she will... actually help them with their stuff, though, so it's not really like she's doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, so she just loved it that much.
Yeah,
which maybe. I mean, great for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice that she helps, like, thanks, ghosty girl, you know.
So the last like main spirit is this woman who walks through the hotel. She's like searching for her child like frantically. And see, this is the one that's kind of questionable because it's like she's just looking for her son, like we get it. But she's known to pull people's hair or throw things across the room because she's so distressed. So
okay, yeah. Well, I get distressed all the time and I'm not pulling people's hair.
She's like, move out of the way. I'm pulling your hair. I need to go find my kid.
Like, oh, I get it. But at the same time, girl, how long have you been looking?
I mean, yeah. She's definitely a residual, right? Like,
Gotta be.
It's gotta be. So those are the main ghosts of the hotel. There are, you know, some other random ones that people will just like have experiences and stuff, but yeah, that's the Haunted Elms Hotel.
I love that. It sounds like a chill vibe. I would like to go
and visit. Honestly, this kind of hotel just is the staple haunted hotel for me.
Yeah,
because it has the speakeasy, the, you know, 1920s crime.
Yeah, the mob ties.
And then it has like a random celeb, like not celebrity, but like famous person, president.
Yeah.
You know, and some ghosts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like any haunted hotel just has to have the, like.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's actually the perfect math equation to equal haunted hotel.
Yes, like why do all haunted hotels have to have the like 1920s crime people? Oh my God. Like, why do they all?
I just had a really good idea. We can make our own Mysteries, Myths, and Legends math book and like what equals
what.
Oh
my God.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Let's write that down.
Okay, write that down. Parm, that's your job right now.
Yeah, let me go tell her.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well. This is a very drastic change over to what I'm talking about today. So okay. I guess we'll just get right on into it today. I am covering the legend / mystery of the Moon-Eyed People.
Oh, interesting. Ta-da.
So this legend is an old Cherokee legend. So, and I always think that's like cool to talk about Cherokee legends because we live near the Cherokee people. Yeah. Where they once did, you know, and it's at least not too far, so that's cool. So kind of around these parts is where this happened, and more a little bit in the western, you know, mountain area of North Carolina. But basically, we don't know exactly when this legend started, but one of the first times that it was written down was the very, very early 1700s, so very old. You know, supremely. So if you've been a fan of the podcast, back in episode 127, I talked about the famous Roanoke colony that quote unquote disappeared on the like east coast of North Carolina. And so they're like, you know, the very famous like lost settlement, you know, everybody's heard of them. Everybody knows. However, there is a lesser known lost settlement in North Carolina on the western end of the state in the Appalachian Mountains called the Moon-Eyed People.
Oh my gosh.
And I had no idea.
I never heard of that.
Right. So let's get right on into it. So yeah, like I said, it is a legend because it's literally straight up a Cherokee legend, but it is also a mystery. Because we don't actually know if these people really exist or not. So, we'll have to see what we think at the end. The Cherokee people obviously believe that they are real. And some scientists don't agree. Typical. So, yeah. Anyway. So, the Cherokee people moved into the southern Appalachian Mountains around 1100 A.D., which was an unfathomable time to my brain.
Right.
So, a long, long time ago. So, during this time of living here, like there in the southern Appalachian Mountains, they claimed that their people were not the only ones that lived there, but that there were another group of people who were there before them who were all short, fat, pale-skinned, aka white, is my assumption. Mm-hmm. Or just very pale-skinned in general. And they all had very blue eyes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And so the reason that they are called moon-eyed people is because they could only come out at night. They were nocturnal.
Oh, my God.
And it's... So the legend says, basically, that these moon-eyed people were a race of cave dwellers who predated the English and Spanish and even the Cherokee people that came over here. And so the reason that they came out at night was because their skin was so pale and their eyes are so blue. And if you don't know, blue eyes are extremely sensitive to light. Basically, they were forced to stay in the caves during the day so the sun wouldn't burn them or hurt their eyes. And then they would live in the nighttime.
Huh, why have I never heard of this?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why were we not taught this? I've lived here my whole life. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Now, all I do have to say is if the moon-eyed people existed, they were probably lacking some serious vitamin D.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably definitely why they were so pale. I'm just saying. But in the Cherokee legend, like, they make sure to notate that these moon-eyed people were just like them. So they said it in a very complicated way. But basically, they're like, they were human, but they just didn't really look like us fully. So they were just, like, shorter. Yeah. And so they were just kind of clearing up the air. Like, it's not, like, some kind of cryptid situation. It's just, like, a different race of people.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Humans, I suppose you could say. So, some people even believe that these moon-eyed people were actually Welsh descendants. And so, okay, a little history lesson here, okay? We all know that Christopher Columbus officially, I guess, has the title as the first to discover the New World. Boo. We know it's not true, but we know, you know, he's at least awarded with the title.
Yeah.
But legend says that these moon-eyed people actually were the first people who discovered it.
So they're not from there originally. Mm-hmm. They traveled over.
Correct.
That's so long before we ever thought that could happen.
So long. And also, something that they don't know is, like, if they traveled far, because the Appalachian Mountains are a very big mountain range. So these people could have been traveling just, like, north to south of the, like, still from the Appalachian, just, like, and just landed in North Carolina.
Oh my gosh. I have heard a theory, because, like, I don't think it's proven or anything, that, you know, Pangaea, when all the continents were together, that the Appalachian Mountains connected to that area.
Yes.
Oh, so that gosh, definitely, yes.
That, oh would, my gosh, see, that would make
it's
sense.
All makes, it's all making sense.
Yeah.
It connected to, like, the, like, it would be Welsh.
Yeah. Exactly, people. Exactly. And wow. I actually also have more proof for the Welsh stuff, so we'll get back to that whenever we get there. Let's see. No, I lost my spot. Okay. Oh my goodness, I forgot about this. Okay, so not only is just all of everything we've already said reason enough to believe that these people could have been the first people here to discover this new world, there is another reason. And it is that all throughout the Appalachian Mountains, there are these strange stone structures, which I had no idea about either. These structures date back far, far back, far way back when, far before Mr. Columbus. So it is a mystery as to how these are still intact today. I do have pictures of them. I meant to send them to you before.
Are they similar? Are they similar to other European ones? Because aren't there other European structures that are stone structures like that?
Well, they definitely are. Like, I'm just trying to... They're not like European structures.
Because I'm just trying to connect to them being from that area of Europe. Because, like...
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see what you're saying.
But they're different.
Well, so there's a couple of different kinds. So I sent you three pictures.
Okay, yeah, this isn't what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's not. It's kind of hard to explain. The pictures will be on our Instagram, so you can look at them. So, let's see here. There's three different kinds, basically, of structures. And also in the third picture is what the Moon Eye people are believed to look like. If you can.
Oh, wow. Okay. That.
So, anyway. Let's see, I keep losing my spot. What's crazy is not only are all these stone structures found, but more and more are being found to this day. Like, still, there are still some that are undiscovered. Like, people will just be hiking through the Appalachian Trail, off a trail, just like, and then they find some structures like this. And so that's crazy that they've not all been found. So one of them, the first picture I sent you, are these, like, absolutely huge rocks that look like they were made to kind of create, like, a rock hill slash small little mountain, if you kind of catch my drift. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a wall, almost, even.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And so, specifically, this rock, it sits on the border of North Carolina and Georgia, and it is located in a place called Fort Mountain, which I'm like... That's not a very good name. But this is the state park where this rock still sits to this day. It is an 850-foot-long stone wall that varies in height from 2 to 6 feet. And these rocks have been, like, carbon dated back to 400 and 500 CE.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is a current, like, a pretty recent picture of them, like, still withheld. Huh. So.
Okay.
Still holding up. Yeah, and so according to the Cherokee legend, this wall is a remnant of a war that the Moon-Eyed people fought and lost against the neighboring Creek Nation people, who apparently were another civilization who was, like, in the area. And I'm assuming... They were people who live near the creek, since they're called the Creek people, you know?
Yeah, probably.
So, it makes sense that they were trying to make this wall so that they could protect themselves. So, that's crazy. But, moving on to the other pictures that I sent you, there are, like, little pedestal-type rock structures. This is the second picture I sent you.
Yeah.
Or kind of also like a tomb-looking structure. And those are also dated back to, like, extremely, extremely old. And nobody, I don't think anybody's ever dug them up. So who is to say that's not a tomb? But there's no markings or anything on it. So I think it could probably just be also from the war, but it's just, like, sank into the mountain.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah, it looks like it could have sank or,
mm-hmm.
or yeah, yeah, what you're saying, like...
One of the two.
I don't know what to believe.
Yeah, you know, me neither. So then, getting to the last picture. This is the most common rock formation found in the Appalachian Mountains. And it doesn't look that weird, right? It kind of just looks like a river of, like, thousands and thousands of rocks.
Yeah, it looks like it could be natural, right?
It does. It does.
But how did they prove it's not?
Well, I guess... I don't know. I guess I didn't look it up. But I just keep losing my spot. I'm sorry.
I mean, honestly, it does. Well, now that I look at it harder, like,
I mean,
it does look like somebody put
it
there.
Natural.
It looks like a gravel, like,
it looks
path.
Like a, yeah, it almost looks like somebody's, like, designed my front yard to look like a magical, like forest, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
no, totally.
So people have dated and studied these rocks, and some of them are older rocks and some of them are newer rocks. So this does kind of prove your theory that people today have added to these rocks.
Like, oh, okay.
So not all of them are there, but I'm telling you that some of these little rock piles are just as small as this one in this picture. But there are other ones that go for miles and miles and miles of these rock rivers.
Miles?
Miles.
Oh my God.
Yep. So, into the theory of these rocks. As I mentioned, some people believe that the Moonite people are Welsh descendants. And according to Welsh legend, Prince Madoc was very angry with a civil war that was going on at the time in his homeland. So he set sail with his brother and a few of his other little friends back in 1170. Okay. Long time ago.
Yeah. See, dates like that just don't seem real to me.
I'm like, I was literally contemplating, I'm like, how do I say that? Like 1170. Like,
yeah, like, I don't know.
11, but yeah, so they were like, okay, we don't want to deal with this civil war. Let's bounce. It's 1170. Let's head across the Atlantic Ocean. And they are said to have landed near Mobile Bay, Alabama. Mobile Bay. Don't know how to say it. So sorry. But in Alabama, they explored up and down the rivers in Southern America, which is what we know today as the Appalachian Mountains. And Prince Madoc, decided that he actually really liked this place. So he left his brother and a few other people from the ship behind to sail back to his country to tell everybody else. And, you know, he's going to be like, we found this new place. Like, let's all go. So he tells everybody, gets a big old crowd, and sets sail once again, this time with 10 ships absolutely filled to the brim with people.
Oh my God.
On the way.
Okay.
To where we are, Western North Carolina. Unfortunately, none of those 10 ships or any of those people were ever seen or heard from again.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
They didn't make it. Nope. So, like, was it pirates? Was it a storm? Boat wreck? Who's to say? But they...
What if they just never, sent word back to the people who were back home, and that's why they were never heard from again?
The brother, remember, stayed in America.
Okay. Yeah, so they did have somebody waiting for them.
Mm-hmm. And remember, they left it. Okay. So yeah, I was gonna say, if you didn't remember, they did leave a small group of people behind.
Okay.
So yep. This little small group of people that was left behind, they are said to be the original Moon-Eyed people, who they are. Yeah. And so that they were like, eventually, once they realized, I guess, that their brother and everybody else was not coming back, they're like, we have to make our home here now, because it's not like we can have a ship made. It's just us, you know? So the theory is that they were the ones who were at war with the Cherokee people, like in the battle for the rivers. And so they built these stone forts along the ridges of all the mountains. And today, like, all of the theory says that the rocks and stuff are all just shorter due to weathering and stuff. I honestly had no idea that any of that was even there. Whatsoever.
No, I had never heard of the Moon-Eyed people or anything like that. That's...
No.
Wow.
Me neither.
Stuff like this makes me want to deep dive into, like, history. Same. And just... see what people have discovered, because I know that what we learned in school is not the 100%
absolutely
history.
Not.
Like
there's, if definitely anything, it's like the most filtered version we could have gotten.
Right,
know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I've learned more from researching from this podcast than I learned in school. Like,
yeah,
at least honestly. K-12, you know, like, it's really crazy. But, you know, you may be asking yourself, Savannah, where are the Moon people today? The Moon-Eyed people today?
You know what? Yes, I was asking that. I wanted to ask that.
Yeah, so some people believe that there are still people who live in, like, the Appalachia area who are descendants of the Moon-Eyed people. Others think that with the war, like, with the Cherokee, that all of them were killed off, and they're just, like, you know, a lost colony, literally forever. But lastly, there are those who don't believe that these people ever existed at all. And I'm like, bro, how could you not? Why would they not have existed? It's not that far-fetched.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it is at all.
Yeah.
Far-fetched. No, yeah.
Definitely not. But if you're speaking of far-fetched, there's one more theory.
Okay.
My personal favorite, of course. The far-fetched one.
Okay.
Is that the Moon-Eyed people still live in the caves of the mountains of the Appalachians.
You, okay, I don't know.
I mean, listen. I have said it once, and I'll say it again on this podcast. The Appalachian Mountains are nothing to be playing around with. I just told you what happened when I was there last weekend. That little girl trying to get my attention. I hear a lot of stories about things that goes on in these these forests out here in the Appalachians, and so but
I just don't know how a group could avoid, like, running into people for that long, you know?
I don't know.
But I mean, I guess you never know, because if they're only out at night.
Exactly. And also, like, if you think about it, really, like, if you're hiking the Appalachian Trail, you're staying on the trail more than likely. You don't want to get lost out there, because if you get lost, it's over for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not being found. So odds are people are hiking in the day, camping at night, and they probably do hear people. Like, I heard that little girl. What if that was, I don't know, what if that was a Moon-Eyed person? I could have been near a cave. Who knows?
Yeah. Could have been.
I don't know. But there is a local history museum in Murphy, North Carolina, that claims to have a Moon-Eyed people artifact. It is the artifact that is in that last picture that I sent you. The one that I said looks like the people.
Oh, yeah. So, do they know who made it?
So, in the very early 1800s, it said that a local farmer dug this statue up on his land.
Okay, yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, and so if you can't look at Instagram right now, it is, it's like, it depicts two small people, very short in stature, and they're either standing, like, really close together or conjoined, but they have flat, really round faces and, like, really small eyes. So, it's unclear and unknown who made it, like, if it was made by the Moon-Eyed people themselves or if this is just something that somebody made. But, yeah, it was definitely made before the 1800s, and that's true, because it's been dated, so.
Wow.
It's, you know, just another question of in the mystery for this little legend we have here today. But yeah, that is the legend / mystery of the Moon-Eyed people.
Wow. I just, oh my gosh.
I know, dude.
Listen, so honestly, you really think they might be in the caves?
No, I don't. I don't think the Moon-Eyed people are in the caves. I'm not saying nothing's in the caves. I think something might be in the caves, but I think it would be like Bigfoot, more than like a human race of people, you know.
Yeah.
But what I don't like about them is how short they are. You know
why?
I don't know. It just scares me.
It scares you.
Yeah, because like, just imagine you're out. Just for example, just imagine you're out on a mountain trip in the Appalachian Mountains, and you're just like running around outside. Probably had a couple drinks, and this like really short, like I'm just picturing my scenario, and like that little girl is like this little thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why it freaks me out so much. Because I'm like, what if that's what was talking to me? That little short little.
I mean.
Flat-headed, scary thing.
You never know.
I don't know. Scary, but absolutely go check out our Instagram to see pictures from this week. Mm-hmm, I can't wait to see pictures up from the hotel.
Oh, yeah. Is it bougie
or, like, what's the vibe?
It's, like, I mean, they did definitely keep some of the historic aspects. Mm-hmm. So, it does look sort of, you know, older still. But it's not too bougie. Nice. It's cute.
Love it. Yeah. Love those vibes. Love that. Well, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But I believe that's all I have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
Yep, I think that's it. And I think, you know, I guess we're going to have to go hit the gym now.
Yep, hitting the gym. We promised ourselves we would, so guess we gotta.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay, well, gym bros for life. I guess we'll see you guys next week.
All right, cue the music.